गीता 9.6 तथा काशितो नित्यं वायु सर्वत्र गो महान् तथा सर्वाणि भूतानि मत्स्थानि चोपधारया यथा काशितो नित्यं यथा जस्ट एज आकाश इन द स्काई स्थितो नित्यं सिचुएटेड ऑलवेज वायु सर्वत्र गो महान वायु द विंड विच इज सर्वत्र गो विच गोज एवरीवेयर महान विच इज ग्रेट पावरफुल तथा सर्वाणि भूतानि सिमिलरली ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स मत्स्थानि इत्युपधारया ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स आर सिचुएटेड इन मी सो हियर Krishna is glorifying the aspect of his transcendent, of his, is illuminating or explaining his relationship with the material world, which he had talked about earlier. He stated that Matsthani Sarvabhutani in 9.4. All living beings as exist in me, are sustained by me. 9.5 stated, Nachamatsthani Bhutani. All living beings are not situated in me. The question may come up, what exactly is going on here? So Krishna gives an example that this Akash, the sky, we can conceive of it as an upside down bowl. So the wind moves within this bowl of the sky. And yet, the wind is free to move. The sky limits not the movement of the air, but it limits the scope of the movement of the air. Within the framework of the sky, the wind can move left, right, up, down, laterally. It can move in various ways. Similarly, within the scope of the existence in this world, within that scope, the living beings can move in different directions. Krishna will talk about this in 14.18 when he will say that Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhye Tishthanti Rajasaha Jaghanya Gunavuttistha Adho Gacchanti Tamasaha. That he will state Urdhvam, that those who are situated in goodness will move upwards, those in passion will stay here, and those who are in ignorance will go down. So when talking thus, his focus is on talking about how the living beings have choices. They can choose which mode they are situated in, and depending on the mode that they situate themselves in, they will accordingly get a particular destination. God does not restrict or crush our free will. God gives us free will, but then we could say, unlimited freedom within a limited framework. So unlimited freedom means that, for example, you know, people can do terrible things. Some people can commit suicide, they can just destroy themselves. Some people can become terrorists and destroy others. Some people can become social workers and do good to others. So there is definitely the scope for living beings to do different things, and that scope is their freedom. So, considering that somebody can become a Hitler and somebody can become a Mother Teresa, and the soul inside these two bodies is essentially similar. But by making widely different choices, one can destroy millions and the other can help thousands, thousands and thousands like that. There can be a huge difference based on the choices made by people. So this is, we have unlimited freedom. But still, our freedom is not unlimited in the absolute sense. It is unlimited freedom within a limited framework. What is that limited framework? Now, we can't just swim underwater like a fish. We can swim to some extent, but beyond that, we need, if we go underwater, then we need scuba diving equipment. And even with that, as soon as the oxygen supply runs out, we have to come back. As soon as, if we are swimming on the surface also, if our energy gets exhausted, we have to come back. Like fish. Nor can we live and act like birds, although we can fly by airplanes. But we can't just fly with the same freedom and facility. We don't have the natural facility to fly like birds. And we, of course, can't check our own old age, disease, and death. So in that sense, we do have limitations to our freedom. So the limited framework, even within our body's capacity, even within the human body, the different bodies have different capacities. And we can't just wish away those limitations that come when we have certain endowments. We also don't have certain things. So some people who are, say, music tone deaf with respect to music, then no matter what they do, they just can't learn music. And no matter what they do, they're not going to become the next musical genius or even musically acceptable. It's going to be very difficult for them. There are limitations which we can't give up. So Krishna is telling that through this example, Achamatsthani Bhuta, that Yatha Akashastonityam Vayu Sarvatra Go Mahatha Sarvani Bhutani Matsthani Tyupadharaya. So how are all living beings situated in me? He says they are situated as the air is situated in the sky. So the air is what enables, the air is quite powerful. Sarvatra go and Mahan goes everywhere. Krishna has used earlier the describer that the soul can also go everywhere. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate. So, So Krishna has stated in this section, in 2.24 and 25 in the Bhagavad Gita, that the soul has the potential to exist everywhere. And despite having this potential, so that potential, nityas, actually that was achidyoyam adahayoyam akledyoyam ashushyevacha nityas sarvagataha sthanur. Sarvagataha. The soul has the capacity to go everywhere in that sense. The soul is sarvagataha, And Krishna is talking something like similar over Sarvatra go maha, the wind can go everywhere, the soul can go everywhere also. But within material existence, the soul cannot get liberated of its own accord. Maha, the wind is extremely powerful. Similarly, soul also has power to make choices. And those choices can have enormous consequences individually, socially, sometimes even globally. So, Matsthani te upadharaya, all living beings are thus situated in me. So now, the point of stressing his relationship with the living beings is to ensure that his supremacy and the living beings' independence are seen in proper balance. Although God is omnipotent, he has given us free will. And so when we act independent of him and we act in wrong ways, that is not God's will. Although God allows it to happen, he sanctions it, but it is not that he desires it. And thus, he is independent. He has given us free will within a particular scope, and then what we do within that scope is up to us. Based on the choices that we make, we will get the consequences. So now the wind and the sky are unconscious. Krishna is conscious. The living beings are conscious. And the living beings are the children of Krishna. Yet Krishna does not get attached to Krishna, and Krishna does not try to dominate and control them. And that is his merciful nature. That is how he is detached. He cares for us, but still he doesn't try to control us absolutely. He gives us freedom. And that is his merciful nature. Of course, when he is detached, doesn't mean that he is uncaring. He gives us guidance, but he doesn't impose his will on us. We'll discuss further about his relationship with the living beings in the world in future verses. Thank you.